a body with ever-increasing force. Salazar nodded. And I am sorry about that. I didn't want it to be this way, but he wouldn't listen to reason. He refused to see that what I am trying to do will actually save us in the years to come.
And what is it you are trying to do, other than kill your sister? Asked Drake.
Salazar looked hurt. Kill her? Is that what she told you?
No, never. I love her.
Like you loved father?
Her voice quivered with rage.
I know you must hate me right now, but it will pass in time. Please, come home. Don't force me to hunt you. You know full well there is nowhere you can go. That's why you didn't leave with Drake the first time.
Before we go any further, I have to know something, Drake interjected.
Salazar nodded understandingly.
Of course you do. You want to know why I betrayed you. And the truth is, you have no idea how much that pained me. Unfortunately, Xavier was insistent. He refused to allow you to run freely through Vale. He was afraid that if you found out what we were doing, you would cause problems.
By now, Lenora's power had built to an almost critical level. Drake could feel it begging to be released. This situation was about to come to a head.
And what exactly is it you are doing? He asked. Does it have to do with Hrashast?
Salazar smiled. Yes. He told me you had seen the whole of it. And in a way, I suppose it does connect. But as you do not know what Hrashast is, explaining would be pointless.
I know what it is, said Lenora.
His smile vanished. And that, dear sister, is what has put us both in this unfortunate situation. Your admission has left me without options. Now, enough of this. Come home, and I will allow Drake to go free. He can return to his life in the provinces. It might be harsh, but at least he'll be alive. Isn't that what you want?
Let me show you what it is I want, brother.
Her voice was hard as iron. She leaned over quickly to whisper into Drake's ear.
Together.
Together,
he agreed. The word had barely left his mouth when both simultaneously let loose a ferocious blast of mana. Clearly prepared for such an attack, Salazar quickly waved both hands to bring a disk of white light springing up a few feet in front of him. Normally, this would be a more than adequate shield, and together with the protective spell already cast, make him virtually invulnerable. But this was not a normal attack. The prince could never have anticipated the sheer strength of his sister's rage. The combined power of Drake's P-37 and Lenora's magic scattered his shield like dust. The streams of mana smashed into his chest, sending him sprawling. Drake glared down at the prince, who was moaning and clutching at his chest. Though injured, the protection spell had managed to keep him alive, for the moment. He took aim for another shot, but Lenora grabbed at his arm.
No, she pleaded. Please, don't.
After a second, he lowered the weapon.
Thank you,
she breathed. Drake was trembling with fury. In the heat of that moment, she was almost certainly the only person in Vale who could have stopped him. Without another word, Lenora set off toward the door, Drake on her heels. Beyond was a short corridor, at the end of which was a steel trapdoor. Drake lifted this up on its hinges to reveal a narrow shaft with a ladder fixed to the wall. He waited for Lenora to enter and reach the bottom before following, closing the door behind him. Dim lights from mana bulbs lit the tunnel. Tubes and wires were fastened to the walls and ceiling. From the look of things, this was an old utility tunnel.
"Do you think he'll follow us?" he asked.
"No. Salazar wouldn't want anyone knowing about this place, especially Xavier. If we hurry, we can reach the end before he thinks to send the royal guard for us."
"How far is it?"
"Quite a long way. It will take us at least 6 hours."
"And you are sure your friend will be waiting there?"
She touched his arm.
"I'm sure. You are the only person I trust more."
Chapter 18 The trek was grueling, with uneven ground and steep inclines slowing their progress considerably. Further adding to their difficulties, the air was thick with moisture, making every breath labored and forcing several brief halts.
"You told Salazar you knew what Hrashast means," Drake said.
as they squatted down for their latest stop.
"Yes, it's a spell known only to the High Mages," she told him. "They use it to keep the land sick. They infuse it into the mana streams."
"Sick? What are you talking about?
I thought the High Mages were trying to heal the land, not destroy it."
Lenora sniffed.
"The only thing they care about is holding on to power. They are the ones keeping the land infertile and the people starving. They know that so long as they control the power and food supply, they control Vale."
"And your father knew of this?"
There was a brief pause, as if she were loath to speak the words.
"All kings are told of it once they ascend to the throne. I only found out by accident. If the High Mages knew I was aware of their secret, they would have me killed immediately."
Drake could barely believe what he was hearing.
"Your father was a good man. Surely he would have done something about it."
"Like what? Shut down the power station? Can you imagine what would happen if Vale went dark? Only the High Mages understand how it works. They control the mana streams. So they control Vale. The king is little more than a figurehead."
"But why keep the people hungry?"
"Everything is about dependence and control. If you keep food and resources limited, that keeps the minds of the people focused almost entirely on survival. That way, they cannot see beyond the next day. They do as they are told, never questioning anything."
Drake considered what he had learned for a moment. Was this the secret that Exodus knew? If so, why hadn't they already broadcast it to everyone? The answer came to him quickly. No one would ever believe such a story. The people couldn't allow themselves to. Without the power station, everything they depended on would be plunged into darkness. Utter chaos would quickly follow.
"Is this why your brother ran?" he asked.
"No. He ran because my father discovered what he was planning to do."
"What was that?"
"After you were exiled, Salazar began conducting studies. I helped him at first because..."
She hesitated awkwardly before adding,
"because I hoped to get word about what you were doing."
This made him smile despite the terrible things he was learning.
"What kind of studies?"
"Food supply, population growth, demographics, things like that. The more Salazar learned, the more depressed he became. I think it finally broke his mind. He started saying to me that the only way for the people to live properly was to empty the provinces. He wanted to kill the entire population outside of Troy. I told Father about this."
"Kill everyone? Are you serious?"
"Quite serious. I don't know how he was intending to achieve it, but Father must have found out. He told me Salazar had gone completely mad and was planning something truly horrific. Unfortunately, he didn't give me any details."
"Well, we need to find out about them soon. He's king now."
Drake's mind was buzzing as they rose to their feet and set off again.
Kill everyone? It was completely insane. How could Salazar be considering such a thing? There had to be more. He was sure of it. Something else was behind this. The man he knew would never have contemplated such a foul deed. Not in a million years.
He sighed. Then again, he never would have believed that Salazar might betray him, either. By the time they reached the door to the surface, Drake's legs felt as though they were on fire. Lenora seemed to be faring better, though he noticed her posture had become slightly bent. After stopping, he reminded himself that Salazar would have recovered some time ago, and, if he chose to, had enough time to send royal guards to intercept them. But would the prince be willing to divulge the location of the passage to anyone? That was the key question. They would know the answer to that soon enough. He gestured for Lenora to wait while he climbed the stairs and listened at the door. It was a pointless exercise. They were still very close to the city, and nothing short of weapons fire would have risen above the ever-present roar and hum of Troy. Easing the door open, he stepped outside. The tunnel had left them roughly 2 miles west of the city. Troy's barrier wall loomed high, behind which its magnificent spires could be seen rising even higher, all the way up to where the mana streams sparkled. Drake saw a service road a few hundred yards ahead. Other than this, just a few small buildings were scattered about, most of them used to store materials for maintenance. Lenora climbed out behind him, her hands glowing with mana and ready to strike if necessary. Drake scanned the area, but could see no one about.
"Your friend is late," he remarked sourly.
"I'm not late," a voice replied almost immediately. It came from behind a stack of cables next to one of the buildings. "I just didn't want to get shot." Drake's eyes popped wide as Bane stepped into view, a wide smile on his face. He was clad in a blue suede jacket and black shirt. A broad-brimmed hat rested casually on his head. Drake instantly took aim, but was prevented from firing only by Lenora leaping in front of him.
"Drake, no!" she shouted. "Samuel is with me."
He cocked his head.
"You know him?"
"Of course she does," Bane said. He strode up with arms held wide. "I am so very pleased to see you, Lenora. I was just about to come looking." Such was Drake's confusion that for a moment he was unable to speak. "It would appear our friend is in need of some convincing," Bane continued. "That's my fault, I suppose. Our last encounter was a bit unpleasant. Though I can truthfully say that I never intended to harm you in any way." He turned his attention to Lenora to give a sweeping formal bow. "Now, how may I serve you, Your Highness?"
"You can start by explaining to me why you tried to kill Salazar," Lenora responded. "That was not what I asked of you."
Bane averted his eyes.
"I know, and I apologize. But when I heard about his plan, I knew it had to be done. And I knew you would never give me permission."
Drake turned to face Lenora, his anger reaching its limit.
"Someone had better tell me what the hell is going on. Who is he to you?"
Lenora smiled.
"I am truly sorry. I've kept Samuel's secret for so long, it didn't feel right to say anything before."
"So he works for you?"
"Works? No, far from it."
She placed her hand on his cheek.
"Samuel Friedman, the man you know as Bane, is my cousin."
Drake glared at Bane, whose smile had grown wider than ever.
"Your cousin? This low-life murderer is actually related to you? Drake Shirazi," Lenora snapped. "That's enough. Do you hear me?"
Bane raised a hand.
"It's all right. He has good reason to think like that. I wasn't exactly forthcoming on our first encounter, but hopefully we can now start anew."
He glanced over his shoulder as a truck passed by.
"But not here. I have made arrangements, so if you don't mind..."
He started toward one of the buildings.
"I think you'll be pleased with our mode of travel."
As they rounded the corner, Drake stopped short. Waiting there for them was Cal.
"How did you get your hands on her?"
he asked, unable to hide his approval.
"The man you sent her to at Grim Lake let me have her,"
Bane explained.
"Vic just handed Cal over to you?"
"He had sent her to him for repairs. There were more than ample resources in Troy, and of course there was Dawn, but knowing the situation in Grim Lake, he'd been trying to help the old man out."
"Well, handed over isn't exactly the way I would put it," he admitted. "So you stole her?"
Bane opened the door and slid into the back seat.
"I would think you'd be grateful for the trouble I took. It was damn risky for me to go there. Crews are still cleaning up the rubble from our last visit."
Drake fired the ignition and ran his hands along the wheel. The engine hummed perfectly. He had missed driving her, the exhilaration of feeling the power as he pushed her faster and faster down long stretches of open road was a unique joy. Lenora cleared her throat.
"If you don't mind, I think we should be going."
He gave her a self-conscious grin.
"Sorry."
Then, just as he started to pull out, he heard Bane chuckling in the back.
"What?"
he demanded.
"I was thinking how angry Father would be if he knew you had sent her to Grim Lake for repairs."
"Yes, your father."
He shot Lenora a sideways look.
"I'd like to hear more about that. How in the hell is Bane your cousin?"
She looked back to Bane, who nodded his consent.
"Samuel's father had an affair with my mother's sister."
"Dawn? How would he even have met her?"
"My father taught engineering and mechanics at the university," Bane told him.
That, at least, made sense to Drake. Dawn's knowledge and skills were way beyond your typical mechanic. He had built Cal from the frame up, made her into a machine of unparalleled speed and installed features found in no other vehicle. There were times she seemed to have a life of her own. Lenora continued with the story. When my aunt became pregnant, and it was discovered who the father was, Dawn was immediately exiled. My mother was disgusted by the whole affair, and insisted that Samuel be sent to live with him as soon as he was old enough to leave my aunt's care.
And how old was that?
Let's just say that I doubt I was ever breastfed for more than a few days, said Bane.
As soon as I found out about him, I kept in touch, Lenora added.
Bane leaned closer to her.
She's being more than a little modest, he said. She financed my father's business, and later on saw to it that I was accepted into the College of Mages. Though, to my shame, I disappointed her by getting myself kicked out. Even though Lenora was just a young girl, she was still kind and thoughtful enough to help us. Not to mention clever enough to keep it secret.
He gave her shoulder a tender squeeze.
We were on the brink of starvation. I owe her my life. I only wish I could repay the debt under better circumstances.
Drake considered their tale for several minutes. At least it tied together one more thread of this tangled web.
Okay, I'll buy it, he said.
But what prompted you to try and kill Salazar?
He's your cousin too, right?
He is, though in name only. The truth is, he's never held anything but disdain for me and my father. But that's not the reason I wanted him dead. As you know, I worked for Fisk from time to time, and before you give me a scolding, I was not his hired killer. I was the one who cultivated that particular aspect of my reputation. In truth, you've probably killed more men than I.
Drake doubted that very much, though he made no attempt to argue.
During one of my assignments, I ran across a letter I was definitely not meant to see. It said that Prince Salazar was planning to wipe out all life in the provinces. He was offering Fisk sanctuary within Troy, as well as governorship of the provinces after it was over, in exchange for his help.
He paused before turning back to Lenora.
But you knew this, too. Why didn't you expose him?
I did, she responded. That's how Father found out his plan.
And that's why you tried to kill him,
Drake said to Bane. He shook his head.
No, not entirely. The letter also expressed the need to eliminate Lenora. She was deemed to be a threat, as was the king. That's when I knew for certain that I had to act. Lenora knew nothing of this.
Why didn't you tell me? Drake asked.
You were Salazar's best friend. I couldn't risk that you would turn against me. I feared you would think to change his mind rather than do what really needed to be done. Unfortunately, my father discovered the trap I had set. After he'd disconnected it, I didn't have time to put it back in.
Drake's jaw tightened.
You put the bomb inside, Cal?
I didn't ignore everything my father tried to teach me, Bane said, smiling. But rest assured, it would not have harmed you in the slightest. It was designed to kill only whoever was sitting in the front passenger seat.
And what if someone else had been sitting there at the time?
Bane sighed.
That was a small flaw in the plan, I admit. But after my father disabled the bomb, I intended to be with you. I thought perhaps I could use its presence to gain your trust.
A pair of approaching headlamps halted the conversation. Another cargo truck blew by. Drake turned on Cal's camouflage and called up the map.
Where are we going?
He asked.
The College of Mages, Bane replied.
This produced shocked looks from both Drake and Lenora.
Don't worry, Bane added quickly. We're not going inside. I have a friend there who is willing to help. We'll be safe with him for a while.
Not a chance, said Drake.
Lenora touched his hand.
I think we should do as he says. Whatever you might think, he's my cousin, and I trust him completely.
The College of Mages was only a few hours to the southeast. From its location, it was still possible to see the lights of Troy, far closer than Drake had intended to be. Nevertheless, Lenora's touch was enough to bend him to her will. It always had been.
Fine, he huffed. But if they find us, I swear he'll be the first one I shoot.
Bane burst into laughter.
I could not ask for a fairer deal. Oh, and you'll be happy to know that your sword is still in the trunk, along with almost everything else.
Almost. I figured the only reason you sent Cal to Grim Lake must have been to help out that poor old fellow, Vic. So I took some of the money and left it where he could find it.
Drake nodded his acceptance.
Thank you. He's a good guy.
Can't say I ever saw you as the kind and caring type before, though.
Lenora reacted in a flash.
I'll have you know that Drake is one of the kindest men I've ever known, she told her cousin.
Drake felt a sudden desire to wrap his arms around her and pull her close. On the other hand, he felt awkward and unsure about making such a move. She had just lost her father. Her brother wanted her killed, and she was running for her life. This was not exactly the best of times for rekindling a romance. All the same, he was sharply aware that every second he spent with her was fueling his passion and love to an even greater level. He had no idea how to best deal with this. As it turned out, she solved his dilemma a few minutes later, when she leaned her head on his shoulder and shut her eyes. An enormously grateful Drake put his arm around her, and she snuggled in tight.
"Wake me before we get there," she said.
She was asleep in a matter of minutes. Drake nearly wept for joy. He had almost forgotten what it felt like to hold her in his arms. He had thought that returning home would be enough, and perhaps it might have been before. But now, looking at her tiny smile, the kind that only feeling safe and loved could bring forth, he knew he had to have more. He had never believed in fate. Now, though, with the warmth of her body and the way the simple sound of her breathing was making him feel, he was beginning to change his mind. It certainly felt as if they were meant to be together.
"I'm relieved to see it," said Bane.
His voice was a half-whisper, so not to wake his cousin. Drake had almost forgotten he was there.
"Relieved to see what?"
"That you love her as much as she does you," he replied. "But I need to know one thing. Are you willing to let her go?"
Drake creased his brow.
"Let her go?"
"Yes. Like it or not, she is the princess. And this is a war, one that I have no intention of losing. Prince Salazar must die. I know Lenora refuses to accept it at this point, but you and I both understand that things have gone way too far for there to be any other outcome. It's either Lenora or Salazar. When the prince is gone, she will inherit the throne. Once that happens, she will need all the support she can gather. And I think you know what that means."
Drake did indeed, and a crushing sense of reality washed over him. For her to stay in power, alliances would have to be forged. She would need the support of the nobles, and they would never give her that if she were with him. He gave Bane a look that said he understood.
"Good. Because I know her. I know how much she cares for you. She would risk everything to follow her heart. You cannot allow her to do that."
"I won't. When the time comes, I'll leave."
The words tore at his spirit. Fate was indeed playing its part. But fate had never promised anyone a happy ending. Only a certainty that what must be would inevitably come about.
"I'm sorry," Bane said, his tone sounding genuine. "As much as I want her to be happy, I want her to stay alive even more. But for now, you have time. Don't waste it."
"I won't," he silently swore.
Despite the millions of mana streams overhead, the night suddenly felt empty and dark. He pressed down on the accelerator, pushing Cal faster. He imagined he could feel fate closing in from behind, reaching out with clawed fingers. He went faster still, all the time knowing there was no possibility of escape. Like Bane, he was determined to win, even though his victory would cost him everything he loved. He looked down at Lenora's sleeping form. In that tender moment, all doubt left him. Yes, if it cost him his very soul, he would see her safe and sitting on the throne of Vale.
Chapter 19. Salazar winced as he dropped heavily into his chair. His father's private study was always so cold. The books and dark wood furnishings had seemed out of place in the palace, to his eyes. The desk was hundreds of years old, as were the chairs and side tables. The carpet was reputed to have been woven the day after the barrier was erected as a gift for the very first king. Or was it a queen? He couldn't recall. The past three rulers had all been men, a fortune of the order of birth. Now, as the eldest child, and with his father gone, this was to be his study. He thought to cross over to the door and warm up the room a bit, but a wave of pain kept him where he was. He cursed under his breath. He had been foolish to go after them alone. He'd had little choice, though. The secret of the tunnel was far too valuable to risk its discovery. He should never have told Lenora of its existence. Reaching into his pocket, he retrieved the crystal. This, at least, was warm. He cupped it in his hands and closed his eyes, allowing the power radiating from its core to rush through him.
"If only I'd had you with me," he muttered. "But then she would have known his secret. That must never be allowed to happen."
"What would she have known, Your Highness?"
He hadn't heard Captain Xavier enter. He quickly placed the crystal back in his pocket.
"What do you want, Captain? Shouldn't you be out looking for my sister?"
He waved a dismissive hand.
"Oh, I wouldn't worry about that. Now that Mr. Fisk has agreed to our terms, it won't be long."
"And you are sure you can rely on him?"
"No, but I am more than sure he understands the price of failure. The Exodus base that Drake Shirazi destroyed was but one. Once we find the others, all will be ready. That is, assuming you still want to go through with it."
"Yes, it must be done. There is no other way."
Salazar shook his head.
"Not now. Be quiet."
"Are you all right?" Xavier asked.
"Yes, I'm fine."
Though the massive burn on his chest was covered by a new shirt, it was taking a great effort not to twist his face from the pain.
"I only came to tell you that the funeral arrangements are all going well, as are those for your coronation."
"Is that all?"
"No. There is one more minor detail."
Xavier reached into his coat and produced an envelope.
"This is the letter of consent."
Salazar looked at the envelope as if it were poisoned.
"Do we have to do this now? The sooner the other nobles know of this change, the easier it will be for them to accept it."
He placed the envelope on the desk.
"That is, unless you do not intend to honor our agreement."
Salazar longed with all his heart to roast Xavier alive, but to do so would spell disaster. The man knew far too much. He was also extremely well prepared to expose everything if he were to die. Picking up the envelope, Salazar removed a letter that he read slowly and carefully several times. Eventually, after a contemptuous glance at the captain and allowing a deep sigh to slip out, he signed and stamped the document with the royal seal.
"There," he said, tossing it across the desk. "You are now officially Lord Xavier Mortimer."
The captain examined the signature and seal thoroughly, before returning the document to its envelope and storing it safely away in his pocket.
"Thank you, Your Highness. Now, if you will excuse me..."
He bowed low, his smile vicious and confident. He paused at the door.
"Oh, I nearly forgot. The Grand Mage wishes to see you. She's waiting just outside."
The whispers in Salazar's mind had become too numerous to make out. This always happened when a High Mage was near. He pressed his fingers to his temples and leaned his elbows on the desk.
"I see. Tell her to come in."
He heard the Grand Mage's footsteps treading ever so softly on the carpet. The light scraping of silk was like a scream raking at his ears.
"You are not well, Your Highness."
Salazar opened his eyes and looked up. The Grand Mage was not as old as her title suggested. At a guess, he would say no more than 40 years. Rather than the orange and black robes her order typically wore, she chose attire suited to a noblewoman, an elegant red dress with gold stitching, together with a silver veil draped over her head that she wrapped around to cover her mouth.
"What do you want?"
he asked. Reaching into his pocket, he gripped the crystal. As if a mist had lifted, he felt his strength returning.
"'In a foul mood, I see,' she responded. Her tone was that of a mother scolding a child. "'I came to tell you that you should refrain from further visits to the power station for a time.'
"'No, don't let her. She wants to keep you from us.'
"'Why is that?' he demanded. He could see her frown through the veil.
"'Do not play the fool. I know what you have been doing.' You cannot imagine how dangerous it is. You are the king now. We cannot permit you to endanger yourself.
There is no danger, he protested. Look at me. I'm fine.
You are not fine,
she told him firmly.
And if this plan is to succeed, we need you to keep your wits about you.
He felt a flash of rage. Everything is going according to plan.
Calm. Patience. She cannot suspect. It had better be. It was difficult enough for me to convince the others. Should this fail, you will not like what comes next. Do not threaten me, Grand Mage. I am the king, and you will speak to me with respect.
Unmoved by this royal demand, she gave a sniff of contempt.
You are king only because I allow it. As it was with your father before you. Test this assertion, and you will quickly find yourself walking the same path as he. Do you not realize that we could have stopped you at any time?
Salazar rose from his seat, fists balled and face crimson. Do not act rashly. Your time will come soon. The voice cut through his anger. Taking a deep breath, he relaxed his posture.
You are correct, of course. I would not want to jeopardize our plans.
Good.
I knew you would see reason. Now, as to your sister, she must be found quickly. Her voice carries much weight. If she moves against us, it could be problematic.
I will find her, he assured the woman.
And what will you do then?
That, Grand Mage, truly is none of your affair. She bowed her head.
Of course. So long as she is out of the way, the High Mages will be satisfied. Now, if you will pardon me, Your Highness.
Turning away, she seemed to almost float across the carpet to the door. Salazar returned to his seat and continued fingering the crystal. His anger was boiling. Only the calming tone of the voices kept him from flying into a rage. He had missed them. He hadn't realized how much until his return. The High Mages were fools. They had the power to reshape Vale at their very fingertips, yet still they did nothing.
Too dangerous? Bah!
Cowards, the whole lot of them. Not one possessed the courage of their convictions. They sought to rule in petty, cruel ways. Even when faced with the obvious truth, they hesitated to do the right thing. A culling was required if Vale was to endure. Chapter 20 Drake pulled into the drive and around to the back of a modest dwelling. It was a single-story home built from wood and brick, with a porch that wrapped almost all the way around. The yard was well kept, and the grass unusually healthy and lush. There were even a few flower bushes planted at the border. Only one light shone through the window, and from the way it flickered and danced, it was not from a mana bulb. "'Max fancies himself a practitioner of natural magic,' Bane told them. "'You can't imagine how much time he spends keeping his place green.'
"'Natural magic,' repeated Drake. "'What does that mean?'
"'He believes all living things have their own particular properties of mana. "'He's been trying to learn how to extract them individually in the hope of curing the land.
"'From what I'm seeing, it appears to be working.'
"'Not really.' This is a result of Max spending nearly everything he earns on fertilizers. Most of the other mages at the college think he's wasting his time.
Do you?
Asked Lenora. Bane shrugged. Who knows? Max is an idealist. In my experience, that often blinds one to reality. As they climbed out of the car, the back door opened, and a man in a blue nightshirt and with a candle in his hand came out onto the porch. He was quite old, with a thin head of grey hair and a careworn face. On seeing Bane, he shook his head and frowned.
"What have you done this time, Samuel?"
he asked in a sleepy voice.
"And who have you brought with you?"
"This is Drake Shirazi," Bane replied. "And this is—"
"Dear God!"
the old man gasped.
"Is that Princess Lenora?"
Lenora bowed.
"It's a pleasure to meet you."
Max began to wave them inside frantically.
"Come, quickly now, before someone sees you."
He ushered them through a small kitchen into what looked like a study, although it was hard to tell, given the mountains of books and papers stacked all over the floor and on practically every other flat surface available. Short on seats, Max disappeared and returned a moment later, dragging a rather large square cushion, which he handed to Bane.
"What the hell are you doing here, Samuel?"
he demanded, while clearing papers away from the chairs.
"And with the princess, no less."
He glanced over to Lenora.
"Please forgive my rudeness, Your Highness."
"There is nothing to forgive," she responded. "I thank you for allowing us in."
"We need your help, Max," said Bane.
"My help?"
Once they were all seated, Max retrieved a bottle of wine and poured each of them a glass. Drake could see that the man was nervous, though being in the presence of royalty could certainly account for that. Max plopped down into the one remaining chair and took a long drink.
"Ah, much better,"
he sighed.
"Now then, how can an old fool of a mage help the Princess of Vale?"
When Bane opened his mouth to answer, Max's hand shot up.
"I was not speaking to you, Samuel."
Lenora smiled warmly.
"Aside from what you have already done, I am not sure. We are fleeing and have nowhere else to turn."
The already deep lines in Max's face deepened.
"Fleeing? From whom?"
"My brother," she replied.
"Prince Salazar?"
He shot Bane an accusing stare.
"What have you done, boy?"
"This has nothing to do with Samuel, Master Mage," said Lenora. "He is my cousin, and he's put himself in grave danger to help me."
His eyes darted from Lenora to Bane and back again. After a long moment, he began chuckling softly.
"Your cousin, you say? Well, doesn't that beat all? I always knew there was something different about him."
"As I recall, you said there was something wrong with me," Bane corrected.
"After you became a professor, yes, there was. As a student, you were definitely special. But that didn't prevent you from turning into the worst damn teacher I ever saw."
Lenora laughed.
"I heard all about that. You challenged the headmaster to a fight, I believe."
Bane spread his hands.
"What can I say? The man was an ass." "That may be, but you were a mere junior professor. You should have kept your mouth shut."
Max shook his head.
"Keeping his mouth shut was one skill Samuel never managed to learn."
He looked over to Drake.
"And you, sir? I've heard your name. You wouldn't be the same Drake Shirazi convicted of killing Lord Malkoy, by any chance?"
"I am," he affirmed.
"Did you do it?"
"No. You have my word."
Drake left it at that. He didn't want to divulge details about what had happened or why they were there. The less the old mage knew, the better it would be for him, should they be discovered. Max regarded him for a moment before turning to Bane.
"I can tell that your companions are trying to conceal what is going on from me. I assume that's out of concern for my safety. You, on the other hand, Samuel, know better. Which is why you've come here. So, out with it."
"We've endangered you enough already just by being here," Lenora cut in. "We only need a place to stay until we figure out what to do next."
Max smiled and took a sip of wine.
"Your Highness, I am an old man, and the one thing about old men is there's very little you can take away from them. I've lived my life, so they can have whatever is left, including my house and profession, if that is to be the way of things. But what they cannot take is my honour. If the Princess of Vale is in need of my help, it shall be hers, even if she doesn't want to accept it.
"And if it means finding out you've been believing a lie for your entire life?" asked Drake. "Would you still want to know, then?"
"My boy, I would rather die knowing a terrible truth than live on believing a pleasing lie."
Lenora eyed the old man with open admiration.
"Then I will tell you all I know. After that, you can decide what help you are willing to offer."
Lenora recounted the events leading up to their arrival, Drake and Bane adding their own parts of the story as they came up. Throughout, Max simply sat back in his chair, staring at them, his hands steepled beneath his nose. When they were finished, Max rose and poured himself another glass of wine. This was consumed in a single gulp. After pouring another, he lowered his head, closed his eyes, and spoke softly to himself.
"To think of all those innocent people starving. And for what? To fulfill the petty ambitions of a powerful few."
He reflected in silence for another few seconds, before suddenly looking up at Lenora.
"And should you find a way to stop your brother? What then?"
"I honestly don't know," she replied. "I wish I did. Even if I succeed, the High Mages will still be in control. The land will remain plagued by their tainted magic, and the people will continue to starve."
Max returned to his seat.
"You know, I saw that study your brother did. The headmaster gave me a copy. He thought it would keep me busy and out of his hair. The dimwit didn't understand a thing about it. He didn't see what I saw."
"And what was that?" asked Drake.
"That Vale will soon starve. Not just the outer provinces, all of it. There are simply too many people to feed, and the population is still growing."
"So you think Salazar really is trying to save Vale?"
Drake was horrified at the thought.
"That's what it looks like to me," the old mage replied. "And in a twisted way, he's right. A massive reduction in population would indeed save those left alive from starvation."
"But the cost," said Lenora. "All of those people."
Bane sniffed. "I know it sounds terrible. But ask yourself this. How would he actually go about it? He simply doesn't have the manpower to succeed. People in the provinces outnumber those in Troy by at least 50 to 1. Even if he sent out every member of the Royal Guard, they still couldn't kill that many. And that's assuming they're all as insane as Salazar himself, and were prepared to go along with his idea in the first place. I know people can be selfish, but to think they would simply stand by while the king engages in genocide..." He shook his head. "I refuse to believe it."
"My brother has a plan. That much you can count on."
"Is there anything at all you can think of that might tell us what that plan is?" asked Drake.
Lenora shook her head.
"Nothing. He never spoke of it to me. Nor did my father, beyond saying it was something terrible that must be stopped."
"Well, we need to figure it out somehow. Or find someone else who knows."
"Like who?"
said Bane.
"Short of sneaking back into Troy and kidnapping the king, there's nothing we can do."
Max spoke up.
"There is someone I can think of who might be able to help. But you're not going to like it very much."
"At this point, who cares?" remarked Drake.
"Exodus." "What? Have you lost your mind? You said they held Prince Salazar prisoner for several weeks. Surely they interrogated him?"
"That's true," said Bane.
"But I doubt they'd be willing to help us. Not after Drake destroyed their base and killed their people. Oh, yes, and rescued the very man who intends to wipe out practically all of Vale." "There is an old saying about a common enemy,"
Max pointed out.
"How would we even contact them?"
Drake asked. The old mage cleared his throat and rubbed the back of his neck.
"Well, I actually know one of them."
Bane raised an eyebrow.
"You? Since when do you associate with such dangerous types?" "It was unintentional, I assure you. One came to me for help a couple of years ago.
He was a student of mine, but the magistrate discovered he was part of Exodus. I let him hide out here until he could find a way to get to his people.
And you have a way of contacting him? Asked Drake.
I think so, he replied. He left instructions should I ever need him. It will take a few days, but I can try.
What do you think? Drake asked Lenora.
She thought for a lengthy moment.
I see no other option. As Samuel pointed out, unless we try to capture my brother, we need help from others.
Max drained his glass.
Then it's settled. I'll leave in the morning, and you three will wait here until I return.
You should let one of us come with you, said Drake.
He laughed.
Which one do you suggest? Of the three of you, Samuel is the only one not being hunted, and with his reputation, I'd be far better off alone.
Drake was not sure how good an idea this was. Lenora was right, though. They had no other options. They could only hide for so long. And hiding would do nothing to stop Salazar. After showing Lenora to the spare bedroom, Max brought out blankets and pillows for the other two to use in the living room.
You can use my bed tomorrow after I leave, he told them.
Drake thanked him and then walked out onto the back porch. The night air carried a slight chill. He took several deep breaths, allowing it to fill his lungs while thinking back on his short time with Salazar after his rescue. He had not seemed unbalanced, though equally he had appeared to be more than a bit preoccupied with the welfare of the people. Small things, he'd said, now sprang to mind. At the time, they hadn't seemed particularly important, just a word here and there. Had Drake understood more, though, they would have surely served to tell him of Salazar's mental state. He sighed. Even now, knowing full well of his once best friend's crazed plan, he still could not reconcile it with the man he thought he knew. He heard the door open, and the pleasing scent of lilacs drifted on the air.
I should have brought more things with me, said Lenora. Max was kind enough to lend me a robe, but it's really a bit on the large side.
This was hardly an exaggeration. The white cotton robe hung loosely about her, and the sleeves swallowed up her hands. Her hair was wrapped in a towel, with a stray curl peeking out, pressed against her brow. Drake smiled.
You could wear a suit made from mechanics' rags and still look beautiful.
Almost at once, he winced at his own words. But, corny or not, Lenora blushed anyway.
You have always been so generous, she replied, even when you are lying.
Lying? Me? Never.
She touched his cheek, the robe's sleeve rolling up over her slender wrist as she did so.
It's good to see that the hard years did not kill the man I knew, she whispered. I had feared that life in the provinces might change you.
The warmth of her touch had him shutting his eyes involuntarily.
They did. I'm a much different person from the one that left Troy.
Suddenly, he was keenly aware of the lines and cracks on his face that nearly a decade of life as a hawker had added.
I know, but not in the ways that matter to me. You are still kind and thoughtful. Even after all the horrors you have seen, your heart remains the same.
Drake took hold of her hand and met her eyes.
I need to ask you something, Lenora. Did you know it was your brother who killed Lord Malkoy?
Eventually, yes.
The words stabbed at his heart. Still, he could not summon even a hint of anger.
Not for her.
When?
He told me about a year ago. He said that someone had changed the video to incriminate you, but he wouldn't tell me who it was. I wanted to go to Father, but Salazar assured me he didn't have the original recording, and without proof, there was nothing I could do. Please believe me. I was desperate to do something, anything.
Don't be upset, he told her.
I believe you. I truly do. And I don't want you thinking about my time in the provinces. It wasn't all bad. The worst part was not seeing you.
She smiled.
And now here we are.
Drake could no longer control himself. Taking Lenora in his arms, he pulled her close. Her body yielded instantly, and for the first time in what felt like an eternity,
their lips met. The kiss was gentle at first, almost shy. Then, as the years melted away, the intensity grew. Their breaths started coming in short gasps. Desperately, they tugged and pulled at one another, as if seeking to make their bodies into one. Drake's passion was a raging storm of lust and desire, tempered only by the deep love and respect he felt for the woman in his arms. He wanted her, and there was no doubt that she wanted him. And he was on the verge of giving in to his yearnings. The porch door opened. Even after this most public of interruptions, it was still almost painful to part. "I see the two of you are getting reacquainted," Bane remarked, looking at them with an impish grin. "I do hate to interrupt, but Max has asked me to come and get you. He says he'll be leaving at dawn and wants to go over some things that we'll need to know while he's not here." Lenora's face was flushed as she pulled her robe tight. "Yes, of course." Drake watched her hurry inside. He wanted to throttle Bane.
"Perfect timing," he growled.
Bane spread his hands, clearly enjoying the awkward moment his arrival had caused. "What can I say? Max sent me. What was I supposed to tell him? It's not my fault. You thought right now might be the perfect time to revive your romance." He was right. Drake was aware of that. Not that this knowledge helped very much.
"We still have time,"
he told himself. But did they? In fact, was it even a good idea to be doing any of this? Was it fair to either of them? It was difficult enough knowing that even if they succeeded in stopping Salazar, they would once again be forced apart. Maybe they should just stop now. But, of course, there was always the small matter of self-control, and with Lenora he had none. He could hear Max complaining inside that he was taking too long.
"Come," said Bane. "Old men get grumpy at night.
Max more than most.
You go. I'll be right behind you."
With the taste of Lenora's lips still lingering on his, Drake took a moment longer to calm himself before following. Chapter 21 Max told them he would be back in 3 days. The few neighbors were not close enough to have a clear view of his house, but he said they should remain indoors except after sundown anyway, and even then only venture as far as the back porch. Though not exactly becoming distant, Lenora's affection toward Drake did not continue as he hoped it might. Every time he drew close, her eyes fell on Bane, and she immediately shied away. Of course, when they'd first become involved, it had been necessary for them to be constantly discreet. Drake could understand that after having lived such a guarded life, even now it was uncomfortable for Lenora to make any public displays of affection. He tried a few times to catch her alone, but Bane was always nearby. After the second day, he began to suspect it was intentional. Probably protecting his cousin from future heartbreak and pain, he decided. They spent most of their time listening to music or watching the Holovids, and Bane occupied himself by rummaging through a few of Max's books.
"Did you really challenge the headmaster to a fight?"
Drake asked on the second night, while they were all lazing about in the living room. Bane smiled and shrugged, wearing his best innocent face.
"What can I tell you? I was impulsive, and he baited me. He found out that my father is, in his words, nothing but a lowly mechanic. After that, he kept on at me until I'd finally had enough. He's one of those lower Troy fools who thinks he's better than everyone else. I had to put him in his place. You should have seen him when I reacted. I think the man actually shat himself."
"Sounds to me like you won the battle but lost the war," remarked Drake disapprovingly.
"You could say that," he agreed. "I was young, the youngest professor there, in fact. If I had it to do over, well..."
He paused, and then started laughing.
"Hell, I think I'd probably do the same thing all over again. I get a bit touchy when it comes to my father."
"Your father was quite upset with you at the time," Lenora chipped in.
"My father is always upset with me. He's never forgiven me for not wanting to follow in his footsteps."
"No," she retorted.
"He was upset because you refused to live up to your potential."
Bane's face twisted into a frown.
And what potential could I live up to in this hell of a world? I didn't want to end up fixing cars and gadgets. And the idea of ending up like Max was... He feigned a shudder. The life of a hawker seemed far more appealing.
But at least fixing gadgets doesn't require that you kill people, Drake added.
Then you go work with him.
If I had an ounce of talent for such things, I would have.
Bane threw up his hands. A killer with a conscience. Splendid. Let's hope your delicate sensibilities don't bother you too much when it's time to kill Salazar.
Lenora reacted instantly, springing up and glaring at Bane with lips trembling and hands balled into fists. Such was her anger that for a moment it looked as if she might actually strike him. Instead, she spun on her heels and stormed from the room. Bane's expression immediately became one of regret.
"What the hell is wrong with you?"
snapped Drake, in a hushed tone.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that.
Because you're an arrogant jackass who tries to pretend he knows everything. You want to know the real reason you got kicked out of the Mage's College? It wasn't because the headmaster thought you weren't good enough. It's because, deep down, you don't think you are.
A sneer formed on Bane's face.
I don't need a lecture from you. What the hell do you know about me?
Not much, but enough to know that you're self-destructive. I can see that as clear as day. You're constantly trying to prove how good you are, while all the time you really believe you're not worth a damn. Look how you talked just now about your father and Max. You should be so lucky as to end up like either one of them. At least they know who they are.
He noticed a dim glow radiating from Bane's hands.
Right there, you see? No self-control whatsoever.
Bane jumped to his feet.
You've got a damn nerve preaching to me about self-control. You know perfectly well how this thing must end. Yet you still continue to pursue Lenora as if the two of you have the rest of your lives together.
This struck hard and deep.
What's between Lenora and me is our own business.
No, it's mine as well. You are not the only one who loves her.
The two men glared at one another, tension crackling between them. It was Drake who finally allowed himself to give a little ground. He held up a calming hand.
Look, I'm sorry. I was out of line. Whatever our differences, we both care deeply for Lenora. That's understood. And we've a long road to travel together if we're going to make sure she's safe. It's no good for us to be at each other's throats.
Very gradually, Bane released his mana and nodded in agreement.
You're right. I apologize, too. When you spend as much time alone as I do, you tend to forget about other people's feelings.
Drake smiled.
I know what you mean. We just have to remember that neither of us are hawkers any more.
Yes, and at least that should please Father.
He gave a short laugh.
I suppose, in a funny kind of way, we're both royal guards now.
Imagine that. Drake smiled.
I suppose we are.
Bane turned to the door.
I should go speak with her.
He paused at the doorway and looked over his shoulder.
I did mean what I said. I won't try to stand in your way. But I do hope you'll leave whatever was between the two of you in the past.
Drake considered this after he was gone. Did he have the strength to resist being selfish? Because right now, that was precisely what he was being. No answer to this disturbing question was forthcoming, even though he wanted to believe that he would always act solely out of care for Lenora's feelings and the security of her future. He wanted to do what was right, but still wasn't sure if he would have the willpower to do so. Lenora and Bane returned a short while later, both smiling. Lenora had always been the forgiving sort, though too often people mistook her kindness for weakness, a mistake many learned to regret. She could be as hard as stone and fierce as mana fire when the need arose. Bane was the first to retire, leaving Drake and Lenora alone, though he did flash Drake a warning look on his way out. They talked for a time, mostly about when they were children, with Drake taking great care to avoid making any mention whatsoever of Salazar. Finally, a reflective silence developed. After a minute or so of this,
A change seemed to come over Lenora. No longer was she simply reminiscing over past times. Her mind was now very much on the present. Rising to her feet, she crossed over to where he was seated, her hand outstretched. Every movement she made was slow and seductive,